listening to the Local Bar Podcast with your host, Chad Alexander. Come on in. We have a lot of friends we want you to meet.
Well, hello there. From beautiful downtown Columbia, South Carolina, nestled somewhere in the Rosewood neighborhood, this is the Local Bar. I am your host, Chad Alexander, and of all the places you could have been this past year, you've decided to spend time with us, and we are incredibly, incredibly grateful for that. Can you believe it has been 1 year of this show? Thank you very much. I've accomplished all my dreams now. I'm so surprised how quickly this year's gone by, and I have spent a good bit of time over the past couple of weeks just because of some things that have presented themselves as challenges and opportunities in front of me. I've been reminiscing quite a bit over the past 12 months and where I was and what got me here. And I'm going to tell you that this show is obviously a major part of it. And that means if you were listening to this show right now, or if you have ever spoken on this show, that I owe you a huge debt of gratitude, because I will tell you that you have been a major, major part of what I have gone through this past year. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you writing in. I appreciate you putting up with the craziness and the schedule that this is released. And but most of all, I have appreciated really the way you have stuck around and become part of a show in a community that sometimes has a voice and sometimes doesn't seem to. But I will let you know that I hear and read everything that you send. And it really does mean a lot as I've been on this journey. If you have been under a rock, maybe you don't know this, but just to inform you, the Chicago Cubs won the World Series the other night. I'm not quite sure when you listen to this show, but they have won. If you don't know, that's a big deal. You know, I love sports. Sports will break your heart. Sports will it'll drive you crazy, you know, but sometimes it's mind-blowing about how deep of a fan someone can be. You know, I complain about the Dallas Cowboys not being in a Super Bowl since 1995. I've seen my team win three Super Bowls. Like, once I was in college. Like, it's not, you know, it really hasn't been that long. I haven't lived a lifetime without seeing my team win a chance. The last time the Cubs were in the World Series, I believe, was 1945. Or they were in one. They were up two games and they lost that one. That's where the curse of the Billy Goat came from, if you don't know anything about that. More on that here in a bit. But the Chicago Cubs haven't won a World Series since 1908, 108 years. There are people that were diehard Cubbies fans that never saw a win. Can you believe that? We have a hard time now. Here in Columbia, South Carolina, we have our beloved University of South Carolina Fighting Gamecocks. They are the football team here. If you know anything about football, a lot of people live in other countries. This is American football. We really love this team. They have never won a national championship. And a lot of teams can say that, but, you know, they just have never, they've never won it. A lot of times, you know, people will talk about teams that go to it, but they don't win it, or they'll get close and they'll play in a major bowl game. We tie ourselves to these teams, but one of the things that I see is this atrophy in fandom. If you go a long period of time without having at least some kind of success, people fall off. Now, there are exceptions to those rules, like Cubs fans. I mean, they've had some good teams, but they haven't really sniffed a World Series. The Gamecocks here will break our hearts some year, but they've had some years that have been very exciting. Right up the road, the Clemson Tigers were in the national championship last year. So even if we have, you know, teams that don't really make it all the way, they're getting pretty close. The Cubs haven't sniffed the thing. I mean, they're basically the Cleveland Browns of baseball. And that's just, you know. I guess, you know, the Browns are the ones we're supposed to feel sorry for now, because they have no shot of doing anything within the next, I'd say at least 5 years, because of where they are with the salary cap and everything. But it's amazing. You know, there are people that were born and that passed that were diehard Cubs fans that never, never lost their faith, but never saw their team even come close to doing it. Late, great Harry Carey, I'm sure, would be would be very proud of his team today. And so it's funny, you know, because there's this one thing about the Cubs that's always drawn me to them. They are a team that I've never had a huge following towards, because I've pulled for other teams, but there's something about them in that curse that I've always been attracted to. And it's a weird realization that as I awoke that morning, I went to the gym before I started my day, and you know, all the TV screens were on all the sports channels, and all they could talk about, obviously, was the Cubs winning. And really, between them and the Cleveland Indians, it was going to be a heck of a story anyway. But with the Cubs winning, it is a better story as far as that's concerned. And I couldn't help but think about. You know, where I am and where I was when I started this show a year ago. You know, I saw some other things. I've been talking with some friends lately about making changes in your life. You know, when you change the course that you're on, can you really change your destiny? Do you believe in destiny? Is something already laid out for you? Do you know that every good and bad thing is on a map in front of you, and the big guy's got a plan? Yeah, I struggle with that a lot. There are days that I don't believe it. If I do believe it, it's usually in retrospect. So I'm not quite sure how much plausibility I give that idea. But it's an interesting conversation piece. It's at least that. And there is this idea of, like, how about this? Even if you don't know what your full destiny is going to be, if things don't seem to be going your way, when was the last time you changed your ideas? When was the last time you changed your life to figure out what exactly it is you wanted to do and finally reach where you wanted to go? I'm going to tell you a couple of stories today and that I want to share with you, because this is the one-year anniversary. And I want you to know I'm going to be very open with you about some things that I normally don't talk about, but I have gotten a lot of emails about. One of them is something that I get a lot, and I kind of don't really answer this the right way, but the question I usually get is something of, what made you start this show? And the answer I always give is, it's just something I've always wanted to do. It's something I've thought of for the longest time. It was kind of just this brainchild. I knew these great people that I thought had interesting stories, and I knew there'd be doors that were open that would allow for me to meet others. And that's generally the answer I give. It's not really 100% exactly why I started this show. And you got to know a little bit about old Chad before I really kind of explain to you what made me finally do this. I bought the equipment for this show like in March of last year. It sat in a box. And then I did this other podcast for a very short period of time. And then I appeared on some other people's stuff before I finally just bit the bullet and said, I don't care that this is costing me a little bit of money to do. We're going to do this show. I'm going to set it up. I'm going to make it happen and make it be what I want it to be. But the catalyst for that was something that was very painful, and actually a couple of years in the making. I did this thing, and it's something that I advise friends of mine to do whenever they're going through a hard time. When you feel like you've really got to make some big changes, or when something's jumped up in front of you. I remember talking to a couple of friends when they lost a job, that maybe this is something that you need to do. When I was separated, when I moved out of the house, I went and sat in the backyard of this place that I was staying, and I pulled out my phone, and I typed three headers of three different lists on my phone, and I made myself sit there for probably about a good 30 minutes to an hour, and it was three things, and it was what will make you happy this week. And then the next list was, what will make you happy in 6 months? And then the third list was, what will make you happy in a year? And I sat there, and as things came to my head that I wanted, I put them in one of the three lists. Whether it was something that seemed kind of trite, but I knew it would make me happy. And it was everything from, like, maybe even good habits. Like, this week, if I go run 3 days this week and really push it and run like about 5 or 6 miles instead of like the 3 to 5 miles that I run. If I start eating a little bit healthier, if I start watching my budget a little bit more closely. Like, these are things that I knew were good for me, but were also somewhat busy work that were keeping my mind distracted as I was going through this very painful and traumatic thing called divorce. And don't let anybody fool you. It is a traumatic experience. I've said that many times on the show, and I really do mean it. And I made this list, and some of the things were kind of stupid, but there were things that would make me happy. And so I did that. I made those three lists. It's funny, I came across them the other day. And it's funny how, I mean, I know that was about 3 years ago, right? Was it about 3 years ago? Been divorced for 2 years, something like that. What's funny is how much was changed. How much I'm glad I didn't go through. You know, I was sitting there and I was thinking to myself, you know, this stuff will make me happy. A lot of those things have been scratched off mentally. Not on my phone. That would mess up my case. But it was kind of amazing to me. And it really got me thinking, you know, a lot of times we'll say, well, that just didn't go as I planned. I mean, that right there is a good summation of my life. But maybe that's a good thing. One of my dad's favorite songs is the Garth Brooks song, Unanswered Prayers, that basically tells the story of a guy that ran into his old girlfriend that he prayed for every night. He prayed that God would let him have her as a wife one day, and then he looks at his family, and oh my gosh, aren't I glad that prayer was unanswered. It's just as cheesy as it sounds, but my dad loves the song. You know, there is a lot of truth to that. You know, sometimes when we look at things, and we will say, man, that just, it didn't go as I had planned. We always say that when it was a good thing that got away from us. Yeah, I don't think we give enough credit with the things that we really didn't need didn't go our way. And maybe at the time we're like, man, I really planned on that happening. Then you look back on it and like, God almighty. You know, I don't mean any disrespect to any of the girls that I dated like in high school or anything like that. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm glad that didn't turn out. And if some of you are listening, I'm not trying to be rude or anything. It's just, you know, you look at lives and where people are and you realize that things really, you know, the one that got away probably just needed to keep on walking. it's quite all right, you know, and it's fun to think that way. But you know, when you're in the heat of the moment, you don't want that to happen. You have your plans, right? So it's funny, though, I was impressed at the stuff that I had accomplished. I was disappointed in some of the things that I hadn't, that I really thought that I should have, but I needed to put some more time and effort into it. And then I was amazed at the things that either did or didn't change, and the effect was either just neutral or even negative. And it made me realize that when we go over those lists, that yes, we should shoot towards our goals, but not be afraid to change them. Not because maybe we can't reach that goal, but maybe because it's one that we don't really need to go down. And I think there is, you know, for me writing a list of something that would make me happy 6 months to a year, I think in the 6 months and the year mark, I should have pulled a couple of those out and thrown a few more into that week. Because the 6 months and the years are going to be added to as I get closer. One of the things that was on that list was this show, something that I wanted to do. And it took me, a year and a half after I wrote that list to even buy the microphone. It was kind of a crazy thing. Let me tell you a little bit of what was going on in my life November of last year. I had no idea what I was doing with this stuff. I had this really awesome microphone, a great computer, this fancy equipment, and I had no idea what I was doing with sound levels. I look at the soundboard in front of me somehow. It's a 8-level soundboard that is pretty impressive with a bunch of dials on it. When the sound doesn't work on the show, it's my fault. I have no idea what this thing is in front of me. I haven't taken any classes. Probably need to watch a few YouTube videos one day. Because sometimes whenever I decide to go strolling down Amnesia Lane and I walk into one of the old episodes of the local bar, I'm going to tell you that sometimes I'm really rolling my eyes like, Chad, first of all, why are you saying that? Second of all, why are you talking like that? Swallowing the microphone. Third, can you turn the gain up on that? Like, I'm figuring it out, right? You figure stuff out as you go along. But I had no idea what I was doing in my life either. I had no idea where I was going, and I was looking for some semblance of normalcy. I was living with my best friend, and things were going fine with us, but my life, I just didn't feel like I was doing what I was supposed to do. And I was at this point again that I constantly find myself at, and it upsets me greatly. I sit and I think, why don't I know what I'm supposed to be doing yet? You know, my daughter would come up and stay with me on weekends. I'd see her every other night, but I didn't really feel like I was doing the right thing. You know, I was doing okay with my work. I was working for a pharmaceutical company. I'd left the gig that I was in at the senior healthcare company because of all this bad stuff that was happening. And, you know, I knew I was getting into something that I really didn't think I was going to be in long term, and I didn't like that. It was back into an industry that I really didn't enjoy that much with where I'd worked before. I mean, some, but not really. And I knew I wasn't going to feel fulfilled in my life from it. And I was in an absolutely horrible relationship with someone. You know, just a bunch of lies and just misguided promises. Just a lot of things that I just knew weren't right. I knew they weren't. And so I started doing this show. And the reason I started doing this show is because I came across something that said if you want to make some big plans, if you want to change your life, if you want to do something big, when you start getting the wheels turning, go and tell your friends about it. Because if you keep it a secret, you're more likely to give up on that dream than if you tell your friends. Because see, if you tell your friends about it, you know you're going to be questioned about it. They're going to ask you about it. That sometimes when you're kind of leaving it up on the shelf, they're going to ask you, hey, why is that on that shelf? Why don't you dust that off? And so I thought to myself, well, self, if you want to change things, why don't you start the show that you keep talking about? Why don't you call up Scott Kelly and see if he'll be on the show? And, you know, I know you don't have anybody for the next week, but just start talking. And as you talk, say what you want to out loud. I'm not asking for a medal or anything, okay? But there was this thing about the show that I knew I wanted to do an interview, but I knew I wanted a before and after as well, right? But I'm not the order that my father is. I'm not someone that's even got enough material that can really sculpt together something week after week. It was really more of like, you're going to just have to talk about whatever's in your head and see if people listen to it. And for some reason you have, and for that I'm greatly appreciative of that. You have no idea. So I know I talked a lot about what was going on with my life, and I know I talked a lot about what I wanted to do, and I would try to keep things positive because that's what I wanted the show to be, right? Because I wanted people to come to the show to hear great stories and find something positive in the world that they could take back with them as they're riding around their car, doing their laundry, going to pick up their kids, running. Whenever you listen to the show, God, if you listen to the show when you run, I don't know what's wrong with you. But whatever that was, I wanted to give that to folks because I felt like we just needed more of that in the world. I've always felt that way, and this was what I was going to do. What you don't know is that at that point in my life a year ago, I was miserable. I was miserable in my life. I wasn't just alone. I was lonely. I was in a relationship, and I was the most alone I've ever been. I was scared for my daughter. Am I doing the right things as a dad? Is this what a divorced dad is supposed to be? And I had no idea how to do a dang thing on my own. I've always had this idea that I could do things on my own, but I've never really, really, really had to. It's actually one of the reasons why, and a lot of my friends, and none more surprised than Thomas when I moved out in January, but one of the reasons why I so abruptly did is because there was an apartment right down the street from Bryn. I thought it'd be perfect. I thought it would help out with that part. I was nowhere financially ready to move. I had so many other things going on, but I had to prove to myself, at least right then, if not then when, that I can go and I can do this on my own. And I have. I love the downtown studios. It's a nice little place. It may not be mine too much longer. More on that on another show. But, you know, it's one of those things that I really had to do, and I didn't know how to explain it to everybody. I just wanted to do it. And I wanted to put myself to the test. Okay, get out there. You know, jump out the nest. Go figure it out. You're going to stumble and fall all over yourself, which I've been doing all year. But I've realized that I can do it, and I'm proud of myself for it. But the problem is one of the things I worry about a lot is like knowing where exactly I'm going. There's a analogy that I use at this. I always talk about Lester Road in Corona, California. And I don't know if you've ever heard about this. It's one of the freakiest stories that I ever heard. I was out in California. I was going around the countryside, and someone that happened to stop into a bar, had a conversation with someone, and they were talking about this road, Lester Road. It's in the middle of nowhere, and it's in the mountains, and a lot of you know, earthquakes and stuff have changed the topography of that area. But the legend has it that there's this road that people would drive down at night, and the people in the area would refer to it as the Never Ending Road or something like that. And what would happen is people would just drive down it, and they would never see them again, and they'd never come back. One day, somebody was driving down during the day, and what they realized is that there's this turn that at night, the topography really was different. So how do I explain this? During the day, they saw something in a canyon. There's this really sharp right turn that leads you around the mountain, and there's this huge canyon. And someone got this idea that, like, you know, there's no guardrail here. And, you know, I bet at night that it looks like the road keeps going because with the way the topography was at night, especially if the conditions were rainy, it looked like the road continued when it didn't. And they went to the bottom of the canyon, and they found, like, a few cars and people that had died, that had obviously been there for a while, that were just missing. But because of the canyon, because of the trees and the overgrowth, and it's basically in the middle of nowhere, no one, if anyone had ever found it, they just never said anything about it because they just thought those people had been there forever. Really kind of sickening and really kind of weird feeling, but one of the things I've always thought of, like, do you really know, do you know what the road is in front of you? Do you know that there is a road in front of you? Do you know that it turns? You're always looking for warning signs. Maybe no one's been down that road before, and they haven't set up a guardrail. Really freaky, right? I don't mean to, like, creep everybody out with this. But it's one of those things that I really felt like, you know, like, okay, I feel like I can travel down the road by myself. Now, where the hell am I going? Being on this show and having this show and talking with folks has done so much for me. It's helped me connect with other people that I haven't talked to in a while. And yes, it's helped me meet new people. But one of the things it's allowed me to do is if I'm talking with someone either on or off air, like, I love the conversations that I have. And each one of them in some way, shape, or form has helped me kind of realize a path that I want to go. And I've gotten ideas, and I've got some things that I want to work on, none that I'm going to talk about yet. But, you know, Hank and I have batted a couple of things back and forth, and I've had some other friends that I've talked to about doing things, and I've had a couple of offers to get involved with some stuff that I wouldn't have ever really thought of, and some of it I really don't think I'm really good at. But you know, it's given me an idea, because basically what I've done is I've sat down and I've made my journal be something that's published every week. Now, I don't really go into all the extremely private stuff. And if I do, a lot of times I kind of change the stories up a little bit so you don't know it. But I'm going to tell you, being able to come on here and say this stuff out loud not only has allowed for me to really focus on being positive and living in the positive side of my life, but it's also given me the opportunities to find avenues. And I'm going to tell you, like, I like when I get emails from you and you say you listen to the show and you hear something that you really needed to hear and it pointed you down a direction and it's helping you make your life better or make your relationship better with somebody else. Like, that is awesome to me. But, you know, it doesn't have to just be on this show. You know, you can do it anywhere in your life. I tend to do it in a bar. Why? Well, because, number one, I love alcohol. Number two, I love conversations in bars. I don't really go to a lot of places where it's really loud. I mean, I do love music, but if I'm going, I'm going to hear the music. But I love going and having conversations with any and everybody. Well, maybe not everybody, but pretty dang close. And that's what this has allowed me to do. It's allowed me to have conversations with folks, and I really implore you to do the same thing in your life. Find places where you can have interaction and conversations with folks if you're a little down. Because, see, that was the problem. That's what I was missing last year when I started this show, and I didn't realize it. It wasn't until a year later, doing a retrospective back, sitting down, listening to some of my old shows, do I remember how I felt, and I see that I got there because of my interactions with other people. And yes, I'm a people person. That's just what I like. I like talking. I love hearing myself talk. Yes, that's true. But I love hearing ideas that are shared by other folks. And I'm getting closer. One of the things that's helped me out the most, though, is, you know, I've talked about a couple of girls on the show over the past year. There've been quite a few that haven't made the show that wondered why I never talked about them on the show. Then all of a sudden they weren't getting phone calls anymore. I guess I got a point. They still listen. And, hi, if you still listen. But one of the things that I'm very appreciative of is that I found a partner, that really supports me and really challenges me. And Maria has really pushed me in a couple of areas that I didn't expect to see coming. The biggest, and hang with me here, all you atheists, the biggest is how I pray. I had something happen the other night, the other day. It was a very, very, very tough day. And I found myself at the end of the day sitting on her back porch, you know, having something to drink, listening to some music, and just kind of like thinking and trying to decompress from what happened. And I had this feeling that I've had a million times before, that I'm just so dang lucky and I potentially dodged another bullet. And I don't like that feeling. I've bragged on the show before that I'm the luckiest guy you'll ever meet. I've been called that by other folks, but there's a point, and there's actually something that I wrote down on one of those lists that I wanted to change that would make me happy. And it was to not be lucky, but to be good at something. And while I'm grateful that I've been able to get out of situations, some that weren't my fault, and this was one of them, I would really kind of give anything just to be good. And it bothered me. And so she turned it, like she does from time to time, about prayer and my relationship and my faith. You know, how much faith do I really have? And one of the things she said is, what do you ask for when you pray? We had a conversation that I've never had with anyone. And I want to share this with you because I think it's important as I look back on a year of spending this year with you and where I've come. And as some of you have watched from the front row or from the cheap seats, you've watched how I've developed and where I've gone. And a lot of you have asked, you know, how do I start a podcast? Because you've got something that you're interested in. But one of the things that I tell everybody all the time, they'll say, well, what's the most important thing to do in starting a podcast? And I say, you've got to find your voice. You've got to find what you want to say. And one of the things I realized is I wanted to be very open with the people that I would have on this show and their effect on my life, because I wanted you to see that the people that are around you can be very impactful to you. And I knew that I would have to be a subject. And while I love me some me, and I am my favorite subject, I do understand that. I'm reminded by my girlfriend about that every now and then. I did know I was also going to have to really be open to criticism or cynicism because of the way that I was using myself to prove a point. And it's not really that scary because I haven't gotten into a lot of this stuff. But when I talk about my faith and my religion, while I'll skirt it and why I unapologetically talk about it on the show, I will tell you it is an uncomfortable thing for me. So when we were talking and she asked me that question, I told her something that I didn't think was bad, but her answer back to me made me realize that I think I'm incredibly wrong on it. My answer to her was that I don't ask for anything. And I really thought that was the right answer. And I really felt like it has been for a very long time in my life. I mean, I'll ask that, You know, if she's got something big going on at work, you know, that she's okay. I ask that, you know, if Bryn's not feeling well or if she's scared at school, that God think about her and keep her in his arms and please give her the confidence that she needs. I mean, I'll ask for things for other people. I don't ask for anything for myself. And I'm not saying that in some braggadocious way, because I want you to know that I think I'm wrong on that. I'll tell you a story that my dad tells. It's not my story, it's his, but it's one that proves a good point. My grandfather, who I loved very, very much, and I had a very unique relationship with my grandfather because he was wonderful. He was so nice and so sweet, but he's an incredibly flawed man. And that was something that as I got older, I felt comfort in, because I felt like I had gone down the wrong path in a lot of ways. And while I knew the story of who he was as my dad and his brothers grew up with him in the house, he was a very different man to me, and he was a wonderful grandfather, and I'm so appreciative of the relationship that we had. And I knew him as a different man than I think others did. Not that they didn't know him the way that I did, but I got to just know him as just our relationship, and I think we both appreciated that in kind of a unique way. One of the things that happened when he passed away back in 2005, my dad and my grandfather were having a conversation. My dad had never, ever, ever, ever in his life seen my grandfather take communion. And when he was in the hospital and he was passing away, my dad and my grandfather had a moment where they were talking, and my dad asked him that question, why did you never take communion? And my grandfather told my dad he never did because he never felt like he was worthy. That's not necessarily why I don't ask for anything, but it's close. You know, communion is a wonderful thing. For those of you that go to churches that have restrictions on communion, I will say shame on you. I mean, don't get me wrong. Churches are allowed to do whatever. You don't like what this church does, go to another one. But the church that Maria and I go to, they have a couple of restrictions. One of those days, that preacher and I go have a talk about that. And here's the thing. Again, if I didn't like it, I'd just go to another church, right? Churches have their own freedoms, but you can still be wrong, and they are, because I will tell any of you that may be pastors that are listening to the show that have restrictions, that's not your table. That's somebody else's, and everybody's invited to it. You think I'm wrong? You pull out whatever scripture you want. I promise you, when we get up there, I promise you, I'm going to pull God aside. We'll straighten that out. You tell him. Yeah, you find that part where Jesus said, make sure you keep this club exclusive. All right? Yeah. I don't think Jesus taught that way, but I think he said, never mind. The thing about it, though, is that my grandfather and I kind of share in a way a little bit of a sentiment. It's not that I don't believe I'm worthy. It's just that I feel like I've been given more than I should. I do feel like I'm lucky. I do. I feel like I'm incredibly lucky. And like I see people that grew up a lot harder than me. Yeah, there are people that had more than I did, but I didn't have to go through that. You know, like I got to go to college. I didn't have to carry a lot of other stuff. Yeah, I've got debt to pay. I know I've had a divorce. I know I've gone through all this other stuff, but I'm all right. You know, I've lost people in my life that were very dear to me, that were very close to me. I've had people that have hurt me, knowingly hurt me. I've had people that have just done wrong by me. But I've seen other people have a lot worse. I'm not going to sit and ask for anything else. When I pray, and I will tell you this, I'll be very blunt with you. When I pray, I just say I'm thankful. When I teach Bryn how to pray, when we say our prayers, we just say thank you. We just say thank you very much for the time we've been given, for allowing us to do this, for allowing us to be healthy, for allowing us to have our friends. That's what we give thanks for. That's what my prayers are. That's it. But Maria's really challenged me on that. And she really pushed it in a different direction, to where she said that my faith is somewhat the trust that I have and the faith that I have in the big guy upstairs is in a lot of ways directly indicated to what I ask for. And that I need to be okay, because if I say that I am a faith-based person, which I am, I put a lot more of my spirituality into my faith. I'd just go ahead and send you letters if you want to, but I really don't sit down and read the Bible and say, yes, this tells me everything. I really go off the faith and the belief that I have of being a good person, of doing things the right way, of doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do, and understanding that that's what I've been put on this earth to do, and that I don't have to have all the answers, and I'm not going to find all the answers. I just know that it will all be taken care of in some form, shape, or fashion, and I am here to help make sure it is done that way. That's the way I see it. But sometimes your faith has to be in action, right? Sometimes you've got to be okay with putting something out there and saying, I want this. And trusting that somehow it's going to be taken care of, whether it's answered or unanswered. But one of the biggest fears I have, and I shared this with Maria the other night, one of the biggest fears I have is have I been forgotten? When I was a kid, I had separation anxiety really, really badly. And my parents would be going to the grocery store, and I know I annoyed the crap out of them. They made it very well known. But I would see them go to the grocery store, and if I was on my bike, I just want to hear from them. Where are you going? When are you going to be back? That's all you got to tell me. But I had this huge separation anxiety. And then when we moved, oh my God, it got worse. And I really had to, I had nobody there to help me with it. And it was something that I had to battle on my own. And I see kids now that I know have the same thing. And Bryn has a little bit of it, not as bad as I did, but she does have a little bit of it. So I can see when it pops up at a strange time, I do understand it. Like, I get it. And I understand what she needs to hear. But it is very weird if you never lived with that. And the thing, though, is as I grew, that stayed with me to some extent. As life is a series of hellos and goodbyes, and I would meet people in high school and in college, and things would come into my life, and then they would either be taken away or I would make a decision and leave something. And I would always wonder, am I making the right decisions? Am I on the right path? And a lot of times I would be so worried that I had gotten off the path for a while, but people's progress had taken them forward and left me behind, and I would never catch back up to them and be what I should be. And I know that sounds very weird and a little complicated, but it's just one of those things that's always made me worry. Am I on the right path? Do I know where this road is going? Yes, I have faith, but do I have enough faith to ask directions from someone who may not answer me back today? The other thing that I worry about, and I'm going to say this. Maria is the only person I've ever said this to. There are stars in the sky that are bright but have burned out years ago, and the light just hasn't reached the earth yet. And people will tell me all the time, Chad, you're a people person. Chad, you're a good guy. Chad, you got this going for you. You got all that. Man, you're fine, man. What if I got off course way too long ago? What if I'm not hitting all the checklists to be able to hit the promise that I'm supposed to be? What if my star burned out years ago? It just hasn't become apparent yet. There are different ways we measure success in our lives. Some people measure it by where they are in their careers. Other people measure it by the stuff that they have. Some people measure it by accumulating wealth so they can give it to other people. Some people with their family, some people with their children, with their spouse, with their friends, or a mixture of all of that. Like, we all have, what do you think a success is? And sometimes I look and I don't really know anymore. Sometimes I look at myself and I'm not quite sure. Because I don't even know which street I'm on, much less which direction I'm heading in. And I don't have the guts to ask somebody upstairs for directions or what I'm supposed to be. I think I'm just supposed to sit in this car and drive and say, thank you for not letting this be a cliff. Because you see, that's where I was a year ago. And while that's not fixed yet in me, I've at least realized it. And as I've read your emails, and as I've seen the questions that have come up, as I've seen the dialogue that's existed between me and you, and actually between some groups of you at times, which has been one of the neatest things I've seen through email. I know a lot of you feel that way as well. This show doesn't have answers. I'm not good for answers, man. I'm really not. But if you're looking for questions, if you're looking for someone that's on the road with you, you got them here. But it doesn't really have to be that way. And when I said at the beginning, can you change your course? Can you change your destiny? I want to go back to the Chicago Cubs. So for those of you who don't know, there was a goat. There's this goat. This guy brought this goat to the game. He'd always bring this goat. And everybody said the stench of the goat was a smelly goat. You got a stank goat. You got to get that goat out of here. So he kicked out of Wrigley Field. And so the guy put a curse on the team. And because of that goat, they were in the World Series. They were up by two games. They lost the World Series. And didn't sniff one till 108 years later. Sports players or athletes are very superstitious people. None more so than baseball players, I don't think. And I'm a very superstitious guy as well. There's a guy that when I was an underwear and Gatorade maker for the College of Charleston men's basketball team, there's this guy who had a tattoo on his shoulder. It said cursed. And I remember I always used to scoff at that. I'm like, what? Just learn to shoot your free throws. You won't be cursed. Man, I missed that free throw because I was just the worst free throw shooter because I'm cursed. No, you're the worst free throw shooter because you don't practice them. We'd have that debate every now and then. But he also felt like that in his life. There are people that feel that way. I'm cursed. I've always believed that if you think that, then you will be that. One of the reasons why I'm the luckiest guy in the world? Because I believe that I am. I mean, I've got things that I can prove it, but I believe that I am. The truth of the matter is the burdens that we carry, those curses that we carry, aren't just curses, they're our own faults. One of the things that's hit me over the past 24, 48 hours is the burdens maybe that I carry aren't somebody else's fault. Yeah, maybe somebody did it to you, but the only reason I'm carrying it is it's my fault. My dad would say when he talks to folks that are going through a divorce or some kind of life-changing experience like that, is he would always say, you're going to have a lot of baggage. You got to learn to drop that baggage because it's not fair to put it on your next flight, because all that's going to happen is you're going to have baggage with that too, and it's just going to make it way too crowded. I've been carrying some baggage. One of the things that I dislike about the way I do this show, because I am sole producer of this show, is there are people that I will not bring on it. There are people that I cannot bring on it. And sometimes I get angry with myself about that. Sometimes I get sad with myself about that. It's just one of those things. Maria told me one time not long ago that when I finally let go of this baggage that I've been carrying around for a very long time, to let her know about it. Maria, I can tell you that I've let it go. The past 24 hours, I have spent a lot of time thinking about this past year, about where I've come from, where I'm going. And I realized the hypocrisy that I have in my life. Look, go do a podcast for a year and have your significant other sit and listen to every dang episode and then sit and question you, especially when you start talking about other girls. Let her sit down and question you. You realize that you are one of the most apocryphal people. Yes, I'm stealing that word from Colin Coward. One of the most apocryphal people that have ever walked the face of the planet. Like, I'm really not. A lot of things are situational. Hang on while I'm backpedaling here a little bit. One of the things, like I'll give you an example. Some things I can't help. Like I'll have a talk with a couple of buddies of mine, and I feel like they gotta get out of the superficial thing. Yes, when we're all younger, we may be a little bit more superficial in our relationships, especially as guys. Hank Thorpe was talking about this on All of the Above Radio the other day, that we all do that, but we get to a point to where we really do realize that the hot girl ain't always the one you want to be with. And I'll tell my friends all the time, I was like, do you really like her? Yes, I just wish she looked like this. I was like, well, first of all, go take a look at yourself in the mirror. James Dean, right? So you understand that. Number two, if you really like this girl, you know, if you're not attracted to somebody, you're not attracted to somebody. I get it. But, well, I just wish she was like this, or I wish she was a little bit taller, or I wish, you know, whatever the thing is. And I will chastise my friends while I'm sitting here with a girlfriend that is absolutely just scorching hot. like my friends are like, well, are you not doing that? No, I'm not. She just happens to be blazing hot. I'm sorry. And so I, in a lot of cases, I may look like I'm being a hypocrite when I'm really not. I'm just, again, luckiest guy you'll ever meet. It's just the way it is, okay? But a lot of times I talk about stuff that we need to do. And one of the things that I talk about is you have to stay positive and you have to let things go. And I haven't done that. Not in every case. And I have today. Look, I got a lot more ground to cover. I have many more miles to trek. So don't worry. We're going to have plenty of material for episodes. But for a year, for a guy that was miserable a year ago, for a guy that was carrying way too much baggage, for a guy that went through his ups and downs, I want to... I want to say thanks. It's been a wonderful ride to be on this journey with you. And maybe this seems a little cheesy. And if this is the first time you've listened to this show, I don't know. Good. I'm glad you did, because this is what the show really is. This is what it is at its heart. Over the next few months, I have some people that are lined up that are really funny, that have wonderful stories, that have heartbreaking stories, all the stuff you've heard before. And I'm glad to welcome them on the show. And I'm thankful that they'll be there, just as I'm thankful for everybody that's been on the show beforehand. You have all been part of an experiment. My living, breathing journal. That's exactly what this is. But I want you to know that it's had an effect, and it's had a great one, and a very positive one. And I'm so appreciative of that. Yes, there are some of you that I'm closer with. Yes, Maria, it plays a very integral part of my life. And you get to hear about that. Some of it I know makes some of you sick. But I'm very appreciative of what she does. But I'm so appreciative of being able to spell it out to all of you. And then to hear your stories back. I mean, that is such a testament of your faith to me. And I think it's just absolutely wonderful. So I finally let it go. The burdens that may have been put on me by somebody else. You remember that girl I talked about? If you didn't listen to the show a couple weeks ago, I talked about a young lady who was dating this guy in high school, and he just one day told her, "Yeah, we can't date anymore. My parents said that you're not good enough for me because of the way you grew up." And she actually believed it for over two decades. She believed that. And the thing about it is that answer to her is not true. And second, it's terrible that she carried that baggage that somebody else placed on her. It was wrongfully put on her. But the truth of the matter is the only reason it stayed with her is because she didn't let it go. I'm not saying it's easy to let that stuff go, but she didn't. I thought about that in 100 other stories over the past 24 hours. And I've realized that mine are a little bit too much. But it's time to let some of this go. I listened to a lot of these shows. I've listened to the very first one and where I was. And I listened to the smiles and the things I said with a bright voice. And I remembered how absolutely lonely I was during that time. And I think about now when I talk to you, it really is the way that I feel. And I'm there because of the people that are in my life, but because of this show and because of you. You want to do something big with your life? You want to change something with your life? Go tell your friends. You want to be a little bit happier today? Go out and find somebody just to sit around and talk with. You want to make some big plans? Sit down. Write what you want to, what will make you happy this week, 6 months, and a year. But understand that you need to be fluid with it. And above anything else, remember that your life can change greatly in a year. It may not be what you expect. It may not be what you see coming, but it can. So mine has. Mine has, and I'm very grateful for it. Now, if I can just learn to ask the big guy for a favor or two every now and then, I think the steps that I take will be a little bit more great. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being a big part of my life for 1 year. I hope you stick around and get something out of all this for yourself.
The dating scene now sucks. It really does. If you look out on Facebook, you look out on Instagram, you have see all these articles of, you know, the 8-minute text rule, the why do guys go after crazy girls. You
know, 8-minute text? I knew nothing about this.
Well, you'll have to look it up.
He brought my favorite team 5 championships, and but at the same time, it actually goes along perfectly. If you're asking me, you know, just on the court, that's who I would say. Yeah. I don't know about off the court.
Oh, people think about karma in a bad way.
Yeah.
Is, you know, that person's going to get theirs. You know, they did me wrong. Think about it in a positive way.
I like to think I'm somewhat spiritual, and that's where that comes out. And so when I scatter some of his ashes on different big trips in different parts of the country or the world, it's definitely something that connects.
Sort of poster, framed poster of the world.
So I nailed my head on the door frame, on top of the door frame, as I'm trying to hug him.
So you'd be confused.
So he'll be confused how to play jackal.
And he's like, okay, you know, I think that's where he gets the thing that his dad always said, well, you'll only do it once.
Hey, brother, it's been a long time since I followed you and Dan around like a lost puppy at spring mate.
She kind of taught me to love me again and to accept me for me and my mistakes and just to be thankful for everything else I had around me.
I know this is probably a nonviolent show. However, I'm going to go ahead and say that I would punch somebody in the face. all of the people that said, don't worry, you'll find happiness again.
Like, well, that's over now. What else were we doing? Oh, yeah, let's go back to drinking.
Me and my other friend's dog that's not named Cole, they don't have a fit at bar. Small problems, always big problems.
And I'm so thankful that we can all make a happy life for all of us.
Like, I hope we remember that we felt like this. We had hope of things being normal.
Well, I love you, and you have a Merry Christmas, and you find your peace.